More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, the surly table. Worried about family conflict around the holidays? We'll help you make peace. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising, relevant, hopeful. Now,
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, getting ready for Thanksgiving, our show is titled The Surly Table. If you're worried about family conflict around the holidays, we want to help you make peace. Give us a call at 877-573-7825 and tell us what are those challenges you're concerned about with regard to getting together with kit and kin over the Thanksgiving holiday. Are there certain family dynamics that are difficult to manage? You know, you walk back into mom and dad's house and you feel like you're five again, and all the stuff with the siblings start, and then the back and forth with mom. And you always say, like, it's going to be different this time. I know it is. And then you walk in and, like, it's a time machine, and all of a sudden you're all,
it's the,
like,
weirdest vortex, isn't it? You walk in and it's like, okay, but I've got eight kids. I've been adulting for like 100 years. Why am I five? And why is my brother picking on me about, you know, like, who gets to eat the mashed potatoes? Like, it's who gets the last roll? It happens to almost everybody I know. It takes years to get through, and you need to be really conscious of it to get through it at all.
Are there certain topics that always cause conflict around your Thanksgiving table? Maybe there are particular family members who seem to thrive on drama. You know, like that meme where somebody just sort of looking back and forth and eating popcorn while they watch other people fight in the comments boxes. You know, maybe that's your Thanksgiving table.
Maybe it's politics. Maybe it's your religion. Maybe it's their children's behavior and you can't take it anymore. Maybe it's where mom and dad should be spending the holidays and who they love more, and anything that just always sort of gets under your skin. If it's that conflict, we're here for that as well.
We want to help you have a more peaceful holiday, both Thanksgiving or, you know, if you're thinking ahead, Christmas is really right around the corner, too.
Mm-hmm.
So give us a call. Let's talk about how to manage those family conflicts around the holidays so that you can actually have a peaceful, blessed time and be grateful as you're giving thanks. 877-573-7825.
Or maybe you're saying, nope, dodging that this year. I'm not getting together with those people. But sometime in your life, you may really have to. For that family wedding, for God forbid the family funeral, for that thing that comes up where you all have to get together. And you're kind of putting on blinders and saying, not seeing them this holiday season, I'll be fine. Well, this is the time to get ready for the times where you will have to deal with it. This is the time to prepare your heart. You know, yesterday I got home from, usually on Sundays are a non-work day in our house. We very much kind of do a Sabbath thing where it's a family day, it's a rest day, it's a day for church, and that. Not yesterday, because yesterday was preparing for being able to do that more next weekend with the family. The whole family's coming in. We're getting to meet our oldest daughter's boyfriend's parents. We want to be present to our people. So we did a lot of cooking yesterday to get ready for anything that could be made ahead was made ahead. And I think from the minute we got home from Mass till 11 o'clock at night, we were just on our feet working. And it's great to do that kind of thing, but we also have to do the preparation of our hearts and souls and minds to have a loving, cozy, happy holiday with somebody. Or these things that they bring up or are still unrested in our own spirits can come up during that gathering that's supposed to be full of love and full of family and really kind of wreck it all for us and make us feel off kilter, make us feel like children, make us feel angry, make us want to throw up our hands. And we don't want that for you. We want, and God wants you to be able to be in a communion of love over the holiday season with the people in your life.
Well, that's absolutely right. Our show today is titled The Surly Table. It's actually a little inside joke. There's a
it's a joke Greg has made all the time.
Yeah, it's the funniest thing in the whole wide world, and the more I say it, the funnier it gets.
Uh-huh.
There's a kitchen store. You may even have one near you. It's called the Sur la Table. But I call it the Surly Table.
Every time we walk past it by our daughter's house.
So I thought today would be a good day to name the show The Surly Table as we think about what many Thanksgivings are like. So if you would like to make your Thanksgiving table a little less surly, give us a call at 877-573-7825. We'll help you manage those family conflicts, challenging family dynamics, and all the family drama so that you can actually have a peaceful holiday. Let's talk it out together at 877-573-7825. You know, the theology of the body reminds us that families are supposed to be a place where we learn to experience life as a gift. Unfortunately, often family conflict and family drama make us kind of want to return that gift. It can be very challenging. And, you know, these holidays, though, are an opportunity to enter into these relationships with a different mindset, you know, with a more intentional, more peaceful, more prayerful mindset that allows us to be instruments of healing and grace and communion, both in our own families and in our extended families. I mean, you know, one of the big challenges about holidays, even if you're not going anywhere, is managing your own tribe because, you know, the kids are off schedule. Maybe they're a little poutier, you know, they're grumpy because, you know, they're not in school or they're, you know, their schedules are just all thrown off.
Everything just becomes insane. And and unfortunately for many parents, the school schedule doesn't often coincide with your still working schedule. And we often forget to do simple things. Like our 13-year-old has a friend who lives several states away, but of course, with social media, they're, you know, with each other all the time. It's just constant texting. And this friend has off the whole week this week.
Nice.
For their fall break. The kids around here had an earlier fall break, so they don't get off till Wednesday. But where this girl is, they have off the whole week. This girl has now been in the car for several hours, and she knows she's going to New Orleans. She doesn't know why. I'm not kidding.
Get in the car. We're going to New Orleans.
Right. And she's in the back seat. And they don't have family there. She doesn't know what the plans are. And I keep saying to my daughter, but she's in the back seat. Can't you just say, why are we going to New Orleans? And she's like, that's not what they do. So she's, the kid's confused.
Oh, family.
The kid's grumpy. Yeah. So tip one, as you were saying, tell your tribe.
Where they're going,
what the expectations are. That's just a quick tip number one, because this one, it's been going on for like 2 days, and they still they haven't told her why they're in New Orleans.
Get in the car, we're going to New Orleans. Why?
No.
Never mind.
She never ask why. Really, tip one, communicate a little.
I'm like having Hansel and Gretel visions
going
through my
head. We're going into the woods.
Here, kid, hold this bag of bread.
Go into the woods.
Why, Daddy? Never mind.
But really, truly, it is tip one. And I want to say, for moms everywhere, this is tip one. Because we, especially around the holidays, I know my mom did this. We get very into our headspace of, all this stuff has to get done. And if they loved me, they'd come up alongside of me and they'd ask me what needs to be done and they'd be ironing napkins and they'd be, you know, setting the table and they'd be cooking.
Or at least they'd stay out of my hair.
And they don't ever tell anybody what the plan is, what they need. So step one, communicate on really basic things like where you're going, what you need. Basic things. Start with that.
Well, so those are just a couple of little tips to get us started, but we are taking your calls about the challenges you might be facing in your family as we head into the holiday season. On our show titled The Surly Table, we want to help you manage family conflict, those difficult family dynamics, those challenging topics that always provoke conflict, or those family members that seem to thrive on drama. Let's talk it out and find some faithful ways to manage all of that gracefully. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the
Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for the gift of family. But we also acknowledge, Lord, that in our broken and sinful world, family is often a gift we would like to return. And so we give to you all those challenging family situations, those frustrating family dynamics, those difficult family members, and all those situations that tend to cause drama in our families. And we ask you to help us approach those, all of those circumstances with eyes of faith, with a heart of understanding, and a real willingness to do something different this year. Help us to be instruments of peace and grace and unity so that we, as your children, members of your family, can help our families experience more of your love through our graceful witness. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. You know, that's the thing. As Christians, this is the downside of being a Christian. It's up to us.
That's the downside.
I mean, I'm kidding, of course, but it is. I mean, you know, everybody else can just kind of go along and say, well, you were mean to me. So
they shouldn't, but they can.
But as Christians, we recognize that we have to do better. We've got to
God asks us to bring healing and love.
That's right.
And communion into, you know, when I say that, I mean communion between persons,
yeah,
to all people. And so we have a standard,
yeah,
we have to meet.
And look, you know, even Jesus acknowledges that there are some relationships that cannot be healed this side of heaven. You know, Matthew 18, he talks about this whole process where, you know, you go and you talk to your neighbor. If that doesn't work out, then you go and you find a mediator. And if that doesn't work out, well, then you might have to shake the dust from your feet. And that's a legitimate possibility for the Christian. But, you know, there's a lot you got to go through before you get to that place. And Jesus also says, blessed are the peacemakers, those who are willing to do the hard work that it takes to create order out of the chaos, to bring healing where there are wounds, to create justice and order where there is hurt and are offenses. So, you know, if you're looking at your family situation and trying to think, how am I supposed to do that? Let's talk it out. We'll find some ways forward. 877-573-7825.
Right now, let's talk with Mary, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Dallas, Texas, on Guadalupe Radio.
Hey there, Mary. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I was just trying to wrap my brain around getting to the holidays this year.
Yeah.
Last year, in our family, there's a family of five kids, three boys and two girls. We're all adults, but we lost both of our parents. I went in November, right around the time of Thanksgiving, and then in February we lost our mother.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. The biggest impact, I mean, they were both well-loved and everything, but I think the father was the biggest impact to the family. The mother my mother had dementia, so she was kind of in the nursing home and had left us about 5 years ago, but we were all still very close to her. But the father situation was probably the hardest, and my father made me the executor of the will, and I had lost one of my brothers over the that relationship, or I lost his relationship because of that fact. I guess he didn't like what I had done or things that I had done, but I mean, my conscience is clear and not really have any other issues with any of the other siblings. But the one brother had stopped talking to myself and my sister. So we both are, you know, not looking forward to the holidays only because of...
Is he going to be there?
Seeing him and, huh?
And he's going to be there?
Oh, yes, he's going to be there, yeah.
I'm curious about this, because normally if somebody is not talking to two members of the family, they'll bow out of family gatherings. They won't be like, so I'm going to be at this holiday and not talking to anybody.
Yeah, he kind of has bowed out. he's changed towards, I think, you know, all of us a little bit, but the biggest difference is not speaking to my sister and myself.
Well, yeah, but I mean, but like, so, but you're saying that he's going to be there. So, like, I can't imagine, like, if I wasn't talking to two of my family members, I probably wouldn't want to show up at Thanksgiving with those two family members. So, like, what do you anticipate this is going to be like? Is what we're trying to figure out.
He's gonna come up and give us both a hug and say hello, and then he won't speak to us. So, I mean, and he'll speak to, you know, other people.
So he'll actually come up and give you a hug, but then just ignore you the rest of the time.
Pretty much, and my husband. And my sister's husband and my sister's child.
All right, so Mary, just a little background I'll need here. So did he ever say, I sort of, Pontius Pilate, wash my hands of the both of you and your spouses, and I will not talk to any of you anymore? Or is it just his attitude? And if it's just his attitude, have you guys ever said, hey, how do we heal this?
Yeah, I mean... He's never said, I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to have a relationship with him anymore. He just started, you know, not doing that. And then I, you know, tried to talk to him and figure out what it is that, you know, we could do to make it better. And he, you know, would not talk to me about it.
Okay. All right. Well, that actually makes things a little bit easier, believe it or not. So here's what I want you to do. You know, he's in what we call the pouting and withdrawing child self mindset.
He certainly is.
What I mean by that is when we fall into our emotional brain, and you can actually watch this happen, okay, on a functional PET scan, for example, if you put your brother's head in the scanner, which I'm sure you'd probably like to do at some point. you'd see that when he was around you, his thinking brain was actually dark, and his emotional brain was just lit up. And his response then is to kind of shut down and withdraw because he's frustrated and he doesn't know what to do about it. And when somebody's in that mindset, pretty much anything you say can and will be used against you. You can't really rationalize or reason with somebody who's in that place. You can just kind of manage them. Because it's a totally emotional state of being, and he's just reacting to things, right? So, although it's normally healthy to go and be direct with somebody and say, hey, you know, what's going on? Let's work this out. That will actually feel threatening to somebody who is in that mindset. And so the only thing you can do is take a more indirect approach. So when you see him and he gives you that hug, you know, give him the hug, be happy to see him. Don't avoid him, but also don't intentionally engage him. Just be friendly around him. Be friendly to everybody else. You know,
not while you're like turning your head from him, just in a way that allows him to be present in all of that without any animosity floating from you.
Create, you know, a safe, warm environment around him. Like I said, like Lisa, don't ignore him. Don't come off like I'm talking and being friendly to everybody except you. Don't
exactly,
do that.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I'm being friendly. I'm being open, but I'm not going to pursue you because I don't want to, you know, make you feel uncomfortable. If you want, and if he says something to you, respond to him. Ask him a question. You know, and if he doesn't respond back to the question, fine. Just shift your attention back to everybody else. Don't make it a thing. The reason I'm saying that is because the more you're able to help him feel calm around you and feel sort of safe to talk about other things, the more that emotional brain where the emotional temperature calms down and his thinking brain comes back on and he's able to look at himself and see how ridiculous he's being. But until you can create that dynamic with him, then he's going to keep acting like this. And the problem is right now, because you don't have a whole lot to do with each other, it's easier to avoid you than it is to deal with stuff. So when you get together, that's the best time not to try to fix the problem, but try to create an atmosphere where it feels safe to calm down around you. Then when he starts talking about the game or the weather or whatever it is, engage him in that conversation. Don't bring up the stuff. You know, just build the rapport as he lets you do it. And if he doesn't, that's fine. You focus on having as pleasant a holiday as you possibly can around him without ignoring him, without being, pouty around him. But just let him know that it's safe to be around you. You're not going to push him. You're not going to try to make things better. You're not going to try to do anything except make him feel comfortable to be in your presence. And that will help him calm down enough eventually to open up those lines of communication again. It's not very satisfying for you to be in that position, but it's really the only thing you can do, because the more you try to pursue him to fix the problem, the more threatened he'll feel and the more he'll shut down and push you away.
Well, and it can be satisfying once you know that's your plan.
Yeah.
Because you can keep your own logical brain going, saying, I'm going to work this plan, with the long view of, if I do this long enough, not just in a day, but maybe over months, maybe a couple of years, we may begin to see his resolve soften and we'll get to a better place. So it gives you a game plan to work and really allows you to focus on the people you can get along with there and having a lovely time, knowing that you don't have to fix everything.
Right. But when somebody's in that emotional mindset, you know, there's no way to directly engage them. You have to manage the feelings so that those can go on. So when those feelings calm down, then you can finally deal with the problem. Anything else you try to do before that is just going to blow up in your face. Thanks for the call, Mary. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls on our show titled The Surly Table. If you're worried about family conflict, family drama, or other family complications over the holidays, give us a call. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. When we come back, we'll be joined by John and Claire Grabowski. They're the authors of Raising Catholic Kids Raising Catholic Kids for Their Vocations. They're going to be talking with us about more ways to take care of each other in the face of family drama. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues after the break.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Everyday living. Effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 75% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Maybe you've been hearing a lot about the need to make a spiritual communion while participating from home in a live-streamed or broadcast Mass. By asking for spiritual communion, we are acknowledging that the Holy Mass is the perfect, best way to worship God. The priest intercedes perfectly for us with God the Father because he acts in persona Christi. This is the time to see that through the priest's representation of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, we are never separated from our Lord. Jesus, I embrace you and unite myself wholly to you.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
When you give, you want your charitable donations to be as effective and efficient as possible. Streamline your charitable giving while supporting the causes you care about. Consider a donor-advised fund with Catholic Charities. Learn more about how you can maximize your charitable donations with a simple, flexible, and efficient giving tool. Visit ccusa.gives. That's ccusa.gives.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back. We're so glad to be with you on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And joining us right now, John and Claire Grabowski. John is a moral theologian at Catholic University. They both served on the Pontifical Council for the Family. And John and Claire together are the authors of Raising Catholic Kids for Their Vocations. They're here to talk to us about how to take care of each other during the crazy, stressful holidays. Hey, John and Claire, welcome to More to Life.
Great to be with you guys.
Great to be here.
It's great to be with you. Now, you are getting ready for the holidays, just as many parents are. And Claire, as the mom of the family, the matriarch, as it were, you're saying we have to do something called pre-meditating before the event. Tell us what you mean by that.
Well, you know, Lisa, I was listening to your show earlier, and I heard you say that you've been preparing ahead for all the company. Well, this includes spiritually. We need to have our hearts and our spirit ready for this and really remember what the day is about. So make sure you pray that morning together as a couple and maybe even go to Mass, because we're really, the day is thanking God, and we need to start that way and be ready for the company and let them see that we're ready to thank God for the gifts he's given us.
Another part of this, though, also seems to me that it's important to kind of make sure that all of our expectations are in the same place. John, you know, what about that piece of it?
Sure. I mean, part of what can make this so stressful is having a bunch of unrealistic expectations. So the house doesn't have to be spotless. It's clean is good enough. The food doesn't have to be Martha Stewart or Bon Appetit. Just good, right? And the conversation doesn't have to get us a Nobel Prize nomination. Just civility around the table could be wonderful. So sometimes simplicity of expectations is a key to serenity in the holidays.
And of course, that all enables us to focus on what the whole point of the celebration is anyway, to focus on creating that relational connection. Guys, I want to thank you so much for being with us. I hope you have a very blessed Thanksgiving holiday. And that people buy your book, Raising Catholic Kids for Their Vocations. God bless. And when we come back, we're talking with you about the challenges you're facing around your holiday table.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here? Because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism. This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent. When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
The idea that the United States of America should now be a nation in high-handed rebellion against God makes me choke. I mean, there are some people who seem to think that the problem in America is simply between conservatives and liberals, between Democrats and Republicans. But these group distinctions are not the most important distinction. The real division is between those who are being drawn to Christ and those who are fleeing him. All humans are created in the image of God, and we are made for a loving relationship with our Creator. Any human being will never find their full fulfillment apart from God. And those of us who are united to Christ by faith and baptism in his mission of redemption owe everyone we meet the love and consideration that helps draw them closer to their eternal lover.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays at 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, this is Lisa Popchak. God wants us to have a great marriage. It may be hard to believe that. After all, a great marriage only benefits my spouse and me, right? Wrong. God truly does want you to have a great marriage, because your marriage is not just about you. God wants to change the world through your marriage. Marriage is a vocation.
a ministry, a way that we live out God's grace in the world. He blesses others and calls them to Him through marriages. When you actively work on having the best marriage and family life possible, you give God the opportunity to tell the world that love that is freely given, total, faithful, and fruitful is actually possible. And it's a path to true joy. Your witness to love can and will change the world. For more tips on how to have a God-centered marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And as we kick off this Thanksgiving week, our show is titled The Surly Table, as we talk about managing family conflicts, difficult family dynamics, and just the stress of the holiday season in family life. If you've got some issues that are stopping you from looking forward to Thanksgiving, or you're concerned about how it's going to go, or you'd like to be the person that maybe facilitates a little more peaceful holiday experience, we want to walk alongside of you and help make it happen. Give us a call. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Brenda, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Massachusetts on the EWTN app.
We're ready to get out of here for the holidays. Hey, Brenda.
I think
we need
to.
Hi.
What's going on?
Hi, Brenda.
I really appreciate you guys. I listen as much as I can.
Oh, well, you're God so kind. Thank you.
Here's my situation. I have two, we have five children. Two of them are married. The oldest son and the oldest daughter. The oldest son has been married about 3 years, and we've pretty much worked out how to deal with holidays. But the problem is, I mean, the thing is, they are very close to us. They are less than 15 miles away, both sets of parents, including them. So that's easy. But my daughter lives 2 hours away.
Okay.
And she just got married. It's not even a month.
Okay.
And I was so glad when I heard your, because I had just gotten off the phone with her in tears.
Oh, she's in tears, or you're in tears, or you're both in tears?
She's in tears.
She's in tears.
And I'm not sure how to help her. So I wanted some general advice on how to go forward, because we have a large and close family.
Okay.
He has a large and close family. And we also have my son and his wife. Everybody's close. So I think I wasn't as proactive enough as I should have been leading up to this, but I'm not sure. I wanted
some
general guidance on how to proceed with this. Christmas is coming, so we can get on.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Well, what was she crying about exactly, Brenda?
She was crying because my son and his wife were going to be with her family this Thanksgiving. And so she had asked us if we'd come to her place. But then her mother-in-law said she had to work on Thanksgiving Day. She works in a hospital. So she wasn't going to cook. So then they decide, okay, or at least Katie decided, well, we'll just go to my family's house. But then her husband wants to come here on Thursday and go back Thursday night because he doesn't want to not visit with his family. But she's crying because I just think she doesn't know how to talk about it. She even said that he has one brother who can't be there. And so they had a pre-Thanksgiving this past weekend. So I said, well, there you go. They had the pre. But, I'm not sure what to say. I don't want to mess with that new.
Yeah, no, you're wise.
I think you're very wise. Dead on. And I think the first thing, and perhaps the only thing you do in this situation is say, oh, sweetheart, I really understand that as this being your first holiday, that, you know, it's going to be, there are going to be some road bumps, but you know, you are welcome here. We'd be more than willing to have, you know, Dad and I come another time to see you guys. Whatever works for you, you guys just work it out and know how much we love you. And then, Mama, you hush yourself.
Yeah, because any advice that you give at this point will come back to haunt you.
It'll be divisive. She'll use it against him in a conversation. My mother said...
I just won't even mean to. It'll, you know...
No, it just will happen because it's very hard to get to know each other's traditions. I mean, Greg and I had a tough time doing that, but Rachel Watkins, who's on every Friday, when she first got married, she's told this story many times. When she first got married and she went home to her husband's family for the first time for Thanksgiving, and they lived down in Maryland, and they had, like, crab cakes on the Thanksgiving table, she took it as a personal insult because it wasn't her food. Like, this is the kind of crazy stuff we can get in our heads when we're newlyweds. So as much as you want to be able to say, well, let's work out a plan, and then you can take it to your spouse and work it out, and stay out of it. Yeah. Be as loving and open as you possibly can and just say, whatever works for you, I'm sure we can work something out. You guys talk about it. You let us know.
Yeah. And you could also, you know, I really encourage families to bring God into it as much as possible.
Yes.
You know, so you don't even ask her. Just say, you know, Lord, I'm so sorry that my daughter's having a hard time with this. Just let her know how much we love her and how much you love her, and give her the grace and wisdom to work this out with her husband and her family. Amen. I mean, it's a 15-second prayer. You don't even have to ask permission to do it. Just bring God into it as well. It's a great way to evangelize the kids. I'm not sure if they need it, but, you know, it's always good to have the prayer either way.
It's also just a great way to get the grace into the situation, because we do all think we have to work it out. We have to work it out. And if we can just bring a moment of God's grace and invite him into the situation. I mean, after all, it's him we're getting together to thank on Thanksgiving or celebrate on Christmas. You know, if we bring him into it, he can often give us those aha moments to work things out in ways we hadn't thought of.
Well, exactly. And, you know, in the last call, we were talking about being in the sort of emotional mindset. And that's kind of where your daughter is right now. You know, she's tearing up about this. This is really hard for her to work out. Her emotional temperature is up. So by being supportive that way, and, you know, bringing God into it the way we're suggesting, you know, you're being empathetic, you're being welcoming, you're presenting options to her, and then you're just giving her this space that she needs to work it out, which is going to help her calm down and not feel pressured and be able to make a good, rational decision once she comes out of the emotional piece of it. But do it. Your instincts are good, okay? You don't want to rush in there and start mucking around, because then it's just going to backfire without you even meaning it to. So keep doing what you're doing, Brenda, and we will certainly keep your family in our prayers and add you guys to our More to Life prayer list.
And I think a lot of our listeners are yelling at us on the radio right now.
Uh-oh.
You didn't tell her to do anything. Oh, yes, we did.
Sure
I want to underline that.
You know how hard it is to do what we just said?
Exactly. It is hugely hard. But especially parents whose children have launched or are in the process of launching, we're often so caught up in what we think our identity is as their parents. They have to be at our table. We have to keep up these traditions this way. That's only going to happen if we give our kids the freedom and fluidity to work that out, because we always have to remember that we've raised them to go and launch and follow their own vocations, their own marriages, their own religious life. I know a lot of mamas right now, a lot of them, who are dealing with the fact that I have friends whose kids have just entered religious life this year, and they're not allowed to come home for Thanksgiving. It's difficult on all of us when a transition happens, but it can happen if we use prayer, as you said, Greg, if we allow freedom and fluidity, and we always let them know that they are welcome and loved.
But
and
whatever they do, we're cool with.
Right.
Because, you know, and this is just a general tip for any listener out there with adult children. If you want to have a good relationship with your adult children, you need to see your role as supporting them in where God is leading them in their lives. The more we, as parents of adult children, sort of put expectations and insist that thus and such happen and it happens this way and at this time, the more we make ourselves a burden. Instead of you know, having a good relationship, you know, you want your kids to come because they want to be with you,
right?
Not because they feel obliged to just make mom and dad happy and get them off our back.
We have to check mom and dad off the list.
So you by presenting them with options, say, look, guys, we would love it. This would be our preference if thus and such could happen. But we understand if it can't, we will work with you to figure out something that will, you know, give us some time to work. You just let us know what works best for you, and we'll be there.
Yeah, I mean, two things that I want to add to that. Number one, make sure that the way you do that isn't, it's fine. Don't worry about me. I'll just eat cat food for Thanksgiving. No, you don't want to play the, you know, the passive-aggressive martyr card. Don't do that. You're actually saying, I would love to celebrate the holidays with you however, when, and how we can, which leads to my second point. Our beautiful Mother Church, in her wisdom, created something called movable feasts. Okay? They move with, in the church, with where the calendar lies, right? There are very few that it's only on this day. That's why we all go, when's Easter this year? Because it moves.
Is it on a Sunday this year?
We don't do that. Although I've known people who have. What we do is say, how does this work? How can we make this work? We apply that to our domestic churches, saying, as many people are doing now, right? People are having Friendsgivings, so they spend the Thursday with their family, and they spend, like, our daughter just came back from a Friendsgiving from this past weekend. You know, she just came back last night. We can do the same things as families. Oh, you're going to be with your husband's family at this time. Can we do it this other weekend? Can we get together for dinner?
Well, I like the way you said it, where you just, you know, flexible and fluid.
Flexible, fluid, warm, and welcoming. Those are the words for the holidays and every day.
877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about the surly table, those holiday dramas that we're all kind of dreading, whether it's a big thing or even just the tiny stuff of managing emotions around the stressful holiday season. We want to help you be a peacemaker in your family and create a more peaceful, joyful, thankful Thanksgiving. Who'da thunk it? 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jenny, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hi, Jenny, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. What's going on?
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
We can. What's up?
Oh, okay. Well, I have, I'm remarried. I was married for almost 20 years and got remarried to a wonderful man. He has four children. I have four children. All of the children are grown except one. And my oldest daughter has our first grandchildren, so we have a 4-year-old grandson, a 2-year-old grandson, and then a 3-year-old grandson from my other daughter's marriage. So my problem is, and we had a little precursor of this yesterday because it was my birthday, and we decided to have an early Thanksgiving celebration. So it was just only four of my children were there and one of my husband's children. So anyway, the problem that we have is my oldest daughter has a lot of anxiety. She's highly productive. She's a nurse, wonderful woman, very intelligent, but her anxiety is kind of over the top. And her husband, another, you know, wonderful guy, but he is on his cell phone all the time. And so it really creates a problem. So we have the cell phone with her husband, and then she is so hyper-vigilant with the children. It just creates an atmosphere of uneasiness. She's worried about the kids, you know, falling. If we're eating a meal, she's worried about them choking. And it's just over-the-top anxiety. And so her brothers and sisters a lot of times are, I don't want to say hypercritical, but they can't really understand this hypervigilant, and they just, I don't know.
So my question, I guess, I mean, other than the fact that it can be difficult to be around these kinds of things, how does it directly affect you guys?
Like when we have the family get together,
like does she attack you guys, or is it like, or the husband who's on the cell phone, is he like, you know, you try to ask him a question and he doesn't answer? How does it directly impact everybody else? Because these are obnoxious things, but I'm just curious, you know, how do you experience it as complicating?
So just to compare the two, so my other daughter's first son is 3, and it's just so much easier. I mean, he can play and do things, and there's not the constant no. I guess
right, but is she asking you to do something about it? I guess is what I'm asking. You know, like, is she inconveniencing you somehow with her crazy?
Oh no, I don't think so. No.
Yeah. No, so this is my point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Look, I mean, the thing is, I agree with you that both of these things are obnoxious. I mean, she's over the top anxious and a helicopter parent, and her husband copes by checking out with the phone. All right? You can't fix that over Thanksgiving. you can't fix that over the course of a year. I mean, that's a big mess of a problem that's going to take some professional help. Okay?
I mean, your job, and not this week, not this month, your job over the course of a year or so, or however long it takes, is to really encourage her to begin to get counseling so that she can be the calmest, best mom and woman she can be.
Not this Thanksgiving.
But not now.
Yeah. What you need to do is let them do their thing and focus on everybody else. Again, it's not about pointedly ignoring them. This is not about being rude to them in any way, but it's about giving them the space to be who they are while you focus on having them the best holiday you can with everybody else.
And really even leading into it with a conversation today on the phone, just saying, hey, hon, what can we do to make this as pleasant a Thanksgiving for you and the kids as possible? Because I know you're juggling a lot.
And I would also talk to the other kids and say, hey, look, I know that so-and-so drives you a little bit nuts, but I'm going to ask you not to criticize her and not to try to, interfere, because it doesn't help anything. It just makes her more anxious, and then it creates more tension in the household. I'm going to ask you if we could, just let her do her thing with her kid, let her husband check out on the phone. Let's us just maybe play a game. I really encourage families, by the way, to not have downtime. Like, especially if you've got some kind of family drama or whatever, or conflict, don't let there be downtime after dinner. Get a game to play together. Do something, an activity.
But I
want to
say, try not to make that just everybody goes Black Friday shopping, because that can really be divisive and ratchet up everybody's
stress. In fact, let me just ask as a personal favor, anybody who's listening, could you just not go shopping on Thanksgiving?
I know,
please?
That sounds horrible.
Please,
so many people, but
come
let's
on.
Respect that. Other people, the people who are there at the stores need to
they
be
have
home
families
with their
too,
families.
You know?
So
Let's
if we
just
do that
give
more,
a break.
Maybe the retail places will close.
Anyway.
And also, it's not in any way really something that we can bond over as a family. So if we don't want to be avoidant completely of being a family by doing something like that, but we also don't want to just give everybody a big void to get angry.
Having you're playing a card game or a party game of some sort, or just go find something to do after that and have a plan for it instead of just everybody sitting around arguing about stuff until they pass out from the tryptophan. It's just so your job, Jenny, is just to let them be them for now. Over the course of the year, if you want to make recommendations for marital or individual counseling to help her deal with the anxiety and help her husband have better ways to manage his wife other than by checking out and hiding out in his phone, then I think that's a really productive thing. Don't start that this week. But
well,
after
as we
the holidays,
said, until after the first
yeah.
of the year.
But, for now, the most important thing is really checking your effort to fix them over this holiday. And I would also encourage you to check in with the other kids and say, and like I said, say, look, guys, I know she drives you crazy with all this stuff, but we're not going to fix this on Thanksgiving. So the more you complain about it or criticize her, the more anxious she gets. Let's focus on having a pleasant time. I came up with this awesome game that I'd like us all to play. What do you think? Okay. So that's your best approach, Jenny. We got to go to break. When we come back, we're continuing to take your calls about managing family drama, family conflict, family dynamics, and just the stress of the holiday season on our show titled The Surly Table. We want to help you be a peacemaker in your home and extended family this Thanksgiving. Give us a holler at 877-573-7825.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866 Ave Maria or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for November is Speak of the Devil, Spiritual Warfare. This EWTN original docudrama based on the parable of the prodigal son imparts valuable insights on how to be battle ready in the spiritual war we all face. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
Nestled under the warm Florida sun is a university whose name indicates a vocational call. Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely ascends to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where you'll be empowered to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Ave Maria University, your vocation location. Visit avemaria.edu.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, then follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life. We're so glad to be with you today. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And just as we're talking about social media, I want to invite everybody to follow me on Momfidence Official, because I'm putting up things about Thanksgiving and what's going on in our house all week. And last night I put up a little thing about one of our traditions that we've had for 27 years. So you can take a look at that.
Inquiring minds want to know. Okay, Momfidence Official on Instagram and Facebook. You could go to momfidence.org as well to check out the podcast and blog. And you've got a great podcast up about managing holiday stress for all the moms out there.
I do, and I'm going to try to get one up if I can get everything else situated here in the next couple of days about the holidays as well. But I'll be doing a lot of like Instagram posts and hopefully some Instagram lives as we get through the holiday week, so you can have a sneak peek on how I handle it all and just into our lives and our family life and our food.
Momfidence Official on Facebook and Instagram, or momfidence.org for the website. You know, as we're coming into the final moments of the program here, we wanted to leave you with this insight that I think will help a lot of listeners manage the holidays better. We all have this tendency to fall into this trap of thinking, you know what, we're going to be together with these people that we don't see all that often. This is the perfect time to solve that problem.
This is the perfect time to fix everything that's ever gone wrong in the family. This is the perfect time to evangelize that person. We're going to make it perfect.
No, you're not. Look, here, the holidays, we're not saying, by the way, this is a wash, okay? We're just saying that you need to take a different approach. The holidays are not a time to fix anything. The holidays are a time to observe and gather information so that you can prayerfully decide how you want to spend the next 12 months working on whatever it is that you want to work on, if in fact it's important enough to you to work on it, right? And if it's not, if you haven't talked about it for the last 12 months, it ain't worth bringing up on Thanksgiving. You see my point?
If you truly love these people and you care about whatever that is, changing, like, evangelizing their souls, changing, being closer and having a better relationship, changing their political views, whatever that is, it would be important to you the other 360 plus days of the year.
And the other part of this, though, is if it is important enough to you to want to fight about it over Thanksgiving, it's probably important enough to figure out how to talk about it respectfully and productively the other 12 months of the year. Either way, Thanksgiving isn't the time to fix it.
Or Christmas, or New Year's
Eve. It's the time to step back, observe, and prayerfully consider, what am I going to do with this information that I'm getting from this holiday over the next 12 months? How will I talk about this afterward? How can I pray? What can I pray for? How can I pray about this? How can I raise these topics in sensitive ways, or provide resources or support later on?
And to be really open-heartedly, lovingly observant, because if somebody is that counter to what you stand for in your life, there's some kind of need or pain behind it. And if you can really begin to try to look at it with those eyes, then that allows you to evaluate all these questions Greg is mentioning with a more open heart and a better way to lead anyway at and other times of the year.
Building on that, if you do need to say anything, ask questions that help you understand where they're coming from. You know, don't challenge them. Don't argue with them. Say, you know, I know you and you know I don't agree, but I'd really like to understand kind of where you're coming from on all that. Help, like, what's going on in your life that makes that make sense to you? I really want to understand you. That's really going to set you up to be able to have more productive conversations after the holidays are over and help you be a peacemaker that doesn't avoid the issue, but talks about it in a way that allows you to actually be an instrument of grace in your household. Well, folks, that's all the time we've got for today's program. If we can help you deal with the difficult people in your life more effectively, check out the resources that we discussed in today's program at CatholicCounselors.com, including our book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, Making Peace with Difficult People. You can also learn about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice. Check it out at CatholicCounselors.com.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.